Now this next song, this is like so good, it's like mentally insane. I like when people say that, mentally insane. It's not just insane, it's not just mental. This is an Elliott Smith song called The Enemy Is You, and I think it was a B-side to like EXO. I don't know. Wasn't on an album is the point. Yet another one of these mysterious non-album songs that's just fucking awesome. Like, this song is so... it's just good. Like, I don't know. I think you could listen to this song like 2,000 times and then you might start to get a little tired of it. It's not a long song. Nice and short. I feel like I'm rambling. This is an awesome song. Elliott Smith, The Enemy Is You. To the breakdown table, and the very next song after that Elliott Smith song is yet another song I want to play, so I came straight back. I don't think I'm going to get both these movies broken down. See, they don't actually have to be broken down tonight. It's only Friday. They don't have to be done until Sunday night, but me and Heidi won't be in all weekend, and I just don't trust anybody else that works up here. They're just fucking idiot retards that work in a movie theater who occasionally take a booth shift. It's better not to leave anything responsible to them. I mean, they ain't bad, don't get me wrong, but it's amazing how often I'll leave an itemized list of here's things that need to be done, and I come back 3 days later and not a fucking thing has been done. But who really cares, you know? That's the other beauty of shitball jobs, is you don't have to care. You can leave, you can come back, it just... whatever, who fucking cares? It's not the end of the world. This place could burn to the fucking ground and it wouldn't be the end of the world. Anyway, this is a band called the Mad Caddies. I don't even remember how I first heard this song because I don't really know anything else they do. I think I checked out a little bit of stuff. Didn't really grab me. I'm suspect of horns. I don't know. It's weird when bands have horn sections to me. Even like this song. It starts off with this really fruity-ass fucking horn shit. But there's some like really... just, it's all about just a guy leaving his hometown when he's young and going out and seeing the world. And just, I remember I first heard this song before I did that myself, but it like, you know, it resonates with you. It gets you deep down. But it's like silly also. I don't know. Horns, I don't know. Anyway, the Mad Caddies with Leaving. Another awesome fucking song. We'll be right back.
packed up all my things, grabbed my bag and kissed my mother, and I told her that I'd be back someday. So I jumped into the back of an 18-wheeler, headed north, destination didn't even ask. With the wisdom that my father gave me, ringing in my head so clearly, son, this world's gonna kick you in the ass. Wanna go now, and I'm not scared, our time's just begun. Oh yeah, life goes by so damn quickly for me.
You know what? I'm standing by what I said about the bathroom. Not to get gross on everybody, but I don't know what I ate yesterday, but I'm having gastrointestinal fucking distress. But it's no big deal. It's like, oh, fuck, I gotta go to the bathroom. So I go to the bathroom, you know? Like, that could be a fucking disaster. And so many of the previous jobs I've had would just make your day miserable, you know? Just fucking having to hold in your shit because you can't go to the fucking bathroom. That's just, like, brutal, man. That's just terrible. So I found that the trick to me getting work done is I gotta hit that, like, golden mean on my MP3 player where I get songs that I haven't heard in a while that I'd like to listen to but that I don't like enough to want to put on this podcast. Like, I just happen to have, band? No Doubt. The song New. That's a pretty cool song. I'm not going to put it on this podcast. I haven't heard it in ages, though, and it's good. It's from that movie Go. I think Go, highly not underrated. Everybody who saw it liked it, just underknown. It's by Doug Liman, the guy that did the first Bourne movie. And Swingers, he's pretty famous for. But Go, it's just great. I actually tried to download it the other day, and I couldn't find it on any torrent sites. Because that's such a weird name. G-O exclamation point. But it's like these three intertwining stories, just like teen fucking road trip bullshit, but it's just so good, man. It is a fucking solid movie. That is like the kind of movie that if I ever make a movie, that'll be one of the inspiring factors, is I really like that movie. It's really good. I recommend tracking it down. It came out in 1999, I believe. But yeah, No Doubt, man, can you believe what a fucking bag of shit Gwen Stefani turned into? I mean, No Doubt was a pretty respectable fucking pop band, you know? Like, they had some, that Underneath It All song right before they folded with some horse shit, and it was one of their bigger songs, and Don't Speak, I guess. I mean, writing was on the wall, I guess, for a while, that, you know, fucking gay shit songs are really where the money's at. But Gwen Stefani seemed so cool, and she was so hot, you know? Like, for a chick with no tits, She was the blonde one, and I always liked Natalie Portman. Man, like our new little fucking Here's the Movies Coming Out magazine just came out, and it's Mr. Megorium's whatever Emporium. And she's still, like, growing the hair back from shaving it for V for Vendetta, and it's, like, the little boy cut. And she really looks more like a boy than ever, but, man, I just, I like that girl. Man, she's just great. And I think a lot of it is just that image you make up for yourself of, you know, she went to Harvard, she's all smarty pants, and she just seems so cool and smart and hot. And I remember my friend Matt was like, what, Natalie Portman, what are you talking about? She's not so hot. But something about her, it's like, I don't know, I read somewhere that people are drawn to symmetry also. Maybe that could be it. Maybe she's just a fucking powerfully symmetrical person. But, I don't know. The sad thing is, though, is like, I'm pretty sure it was right around when episode one came out that I started realizing how attractive Natalie Portman is, which is fucking sad, because that's the same as every other nerd-ass retard in the world. I don't even like those Star Wars movies. None of them. Not the old ones, not the new ones. They're shit movies. Like, Ralph McQuarrie did some awesome designs. The worlds are cool, but those movies are horrible. Like, they're terrible. You had to be a little kid. That's the only way, because as an adult, they suck. So, you know, I try to keep the movie star fetishism to a minimum on the down low, on the back burner, because it's so fucking pathetic. I remember, I think Keith Malley mentioned that in one of the Keith and the Girls, that his fucking retard one-eyed Davis roommate was all, someday, I'm gonna, don't talk bad about Natalie Portman, I'm gonna get married to her someday. And it's like, oh, Jesus, is this my fucking company? Not that I think I'm gonna get married to Natalie Portman, but, you know, I don't even know what I'm talking about. All right. Here is another song that I like a lot. This band is called Snuff. The song's called Nick Northern. I think it was on Survival of the Fattest, one of those fat record compilations. And this song was so good. I was like, holy fuck, that is a good song. So I went and got a couple of their other CDs, and just another band I can never really get into all in all, largely. But this one song, man, oh, it's held up throughout the years. This is a fucking great song. So this is Nick Northern by Snuff. Where the flame of love was born. Now, I'm a great big fan of Mike Patton, who, just like a lot of people, I first heard of him with Faith No More, with the Real Thing album. I was a youngin'. Actually, I think that was the first album I ever bought with my own money. Went to the mall, and Angel Dust was already out at the time. But it's funny, you can kind of profile your friends in a way. Because I remember my friend Brad recommended, I was like, okay, I got money, I'm going to go buy a tape. Not a CD, it's the tape days. What should I get? He is like, man, you should get Bare Naked Ladies, Gordon, that's a good album. And he's right, that is a good album. And my cousin Dan was like, you should get fucking House of Pain. Which, whichever House of Pain was out at the time. I guess the big one, Jump Around and all that shit. That album doesn't hold up as well. I mean, I'm not saying Bare Naked Ladies is better than House of Pain. That's a gay thing to say, but kinda they are. Not overall, because I think Bare Naked Ladies sucked shit after that, but that one album, for, you know, especially at the time, at the age I was at, it was catchy shit. But I bought Faith No More, The Real Thing, and I loved it, man. Like, it's nice being a kid where you can just fucking luxuriate. If I use that word like three times already over an album, like, just get in so into it, like, just fine tooth comb every song, and just, that was a good album. I fucking loved it. But Mike Patton had a different singing style for that album. It was a lot more nasal, kind of overproduced, kind of had a little bit of an 80s sound to it, and it's really not him exactly. Like, they put out a live album, Live at the Brixton Academy, right around that time, where he sings that way, and it, you can tell when you hear him live, he's kind of pushing it, he's kind of forcing to get that sound that is not him naturally, because by the time Angel Dust came out, he had a lot more input in the band, and he's just fucking, like, let the fucking monster out, and it never got contained again. He never went back to singing in that old style. Like, you hear little tiny bits of it here and again in songs scattered throughout his various bands, but never like it was. But, which is fine, because, you know, Faith No More, they fizzled a lot by the end, but they had overall a very, very solid fucking inspirational career, I think. Like, their albums are, like, really radically different from each other. Not in a Mr. Bungle crazy sense, in a more constructed sense, but it was to their benefit, for sure. But I always did kind of miss that old style. I kind of like that sort of nasal, snotty-sounding kind of sound that Mike Patton had back in those days. Especially for, like, Underwater Love. Which is, like, literally just about a guy looking at his own reflection. And I could kind of, especially at the time, I was like 12 or 13, I could totally empathize with that kind of narcissism. But really, it was just that one album. But then you get these other couple little songs. There was on the Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey soundtrack, there was a song called The Perfect Crime that was in the style of The Real Thing album. And also on that Brixton Academy live album, they tossed in another song at the end called The Cowboy Song. So I'm going to play that. This is like anybody who misses the days of The Real Thing, that Faith No More album. And they're like, man, I wish there was more songs that sounded like that. And there's got to be some. I kind of think that sometimes. I mean, I wouldn't give up Angel Dust and King for a Day for anything. But it is kind of nice to get those little extra bonus touches. Like, maybe this is what, if Faith No More had not been an innovative band, if they had just decided to stick with the formula that worked for that one album, they would have had a whole other album that sounded like this song. Not like the greatest song in the world, but not bad. And like, it's like a nice little nod to the olden days of Faith No More. Not the Chuck Mosley olden days, but the Mike Patton olden days. Here is The Cowboy Song by Faith No More. Man, I think I dislike Ben Stiller more than I even realized. I went down to just to check the focus on that movie, make sure it's all right. I just happened to see this part where Ben Stiller's walking past a restaurant, and he looks in the window, and there's a woman sitting there who obviously is like waiting for someone, or maybe got stood up. And he looks at her long enough that she looks over at him, gives him a little smile. So he gives her a little smile. And then he starts to walk away, but then he stops and turns back to her, and he's like, oh, did we just, like, I think we just had a little moment there, huh? Is that just me? Is there a little moment between us? A little moment? So, I, at that point, couldn't watch anymore in case I fucking vomited all over the place, but I'm sure he, went into the restaurant and introduced himself. Hey, I'm Ben Stiller, and I saw you through the window. Little moment there? Oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to be fucking manly and assertive or whatever. I just think maybe we had a little moment. Maybe a little moment. You want to have a romantic comedy now? Should we do that? Fucking Ben Stiller. Why is he famous? Why the fuck? Man, Ben Stiller. He's like my Dane Cook. Fuck Ben Stiller. What a fucking phony ass fuck. I don't know how he pulled that shit off. Anyway, here's another song. This is by a band called Atari Teenage Riot that it seems like... Jesus, that fucking radio. Getting so sick of that fucking radio. 2 more months, that's all. I'm getting the fuck out of here. Seems like I should like Atari Teenage Riot a lot more than I do. Because they're like... just cool, abrasive, loud, noisy, crazy ass shit. They don't even have singers. They call them like yellers or whatever, some shit like that. But overall, I just, again, couldn't get into them a lot. But they got a few songs here and there, and especially this one. What the fuck is this album called? Not Burn, Berlin, Burn, is it? What was that song name? I don't know. Anyway, this song is called Sick to Death. I remember it was track 3. If I remember right, like, those first 3 tracks were all really good. And track 4 started out really good, and then it got shitty. Anyway, this song, there's this one girl from my hometown who I really didn't know very well. I only talked with her a few times. She's like a friend of a friend. And I think I am kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, imprinting a personality on her that was probably not necessarily right. Just from the little bit I knew of her, she seemed like a pretty hardcore, tough chick. And this song always kind of makes me, it reminds me of her. I'm sure she's not even half this tough, really, but she just seemed tough. And I respect that, you know? I appreciate when somebody can at least fucking fake it, you know? My battery just died. Anyway, what I was just saying is, I always kind of wish girls were tougher and cooler. Because it's not like guys are so fucking great. It's just that with guys, I don't care. You know, it's cool if you meet a guy who's got it together, but if he doesn't, what do I give a shit, you know? Who gives a fuck? But just biologically, I desire women. I can't help it, you know, and I want them to be awesome. I want them to be like a goddess and just be a kick-ass chick. And it very rarely happens. So then I am disappointed when, you know, I meet a chick who just is like spineless fucking idiot moron, you know, that's all I'm saying. So, and a lot of that, I think, is just the way my household was when I grew up. Was my dad was like the Ben Stiller guy. They like, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm assertive enough to come into the restaurant because we saw each other. But then I'm going to be like, I don't know. What do you think? I don't want to say I'm just Ben Stiller. Yeah, I don't know fucking what I'm talking about. Whereas my mom wore the pants in the family, fucking held shit together. It didn't take a lot of shit. It's nice. And then you get into that fucking sissy mama's boy shit of like, well, I wish I could find a girl like my mom, which is such a fucking retarded cliche. I realize what I'm saying here, but... but yeah, I don't know. I like tough chicks. They're not easy to find. So here's the song Sick to Death that reminds me of tough chicks. Although, what was I just going to say? I was going to say something else before I fucking play that. What was I talking about? Ben Stiller? Whatever. Sick to Death. Here it is.
Sick to death. Don't do this, please. Mace, again, Mace. Nobody speaks up like we ever have. Mass run against mass woman. Burn, burn, burn. As we get bigger, the atoms get bleaker. Lock the baby, turn the atoms, don't matter. Sabotage, always lust. Don't want to be afraid of the new time.
This is a punk band called Mouthwash. I think, I don't know if they ever put out more than one album. They put out an album on Hellcat. They were on Give Them the Boot 2. It was a very good fucking compilation for Hellcat. They were on one also. And man, I was thinking I could make a movie like only with only this band as the soundtrack. You know, I'm sure I could find a way to pull it off, even though as far as I know, they only got the one album. But just, like, all the songs are cool, you know? I could see, like, crafting a story based on all these songs. But I especially, like, I'm going to play this song, Fool's Gold. And then I'm going to play 316. 316 especially. I love that song so much. It's, like, this punk book I'm working on. Not Smile, but the other book I'm working on. It's, this is like the theme that I use to envision like the two main guys that are like tight, solid friends, two awesome, cool punk, Tokyo crazy ass kids. And it's just so good. What a fucking awesome song. Both these songs are just so good. And We Evolve was the first song I heard by them. It was on the sampler. I don't have that one around, but it's good also. Just a good band. So I don't know. I should look these guys up. I don't know whatever happened to them. But they're like kind of a standard, you know, fucking British sounding fucking punk band. Just awesome. Fool's Gold and 316 by Mouthwash. I even called a lot of the characters in this book have nicknames, and the main guy's nickname is Mouthwash, and they call him Mouthwash because the first time he drank hard liquor he spit it out like it was mouthwash, but I obviously stole the name from this band and then I came up with the reason later. There you go, some Mouthwash.
But it's running when you get there. Do I live, gotta save? How can you wear like a friend? Turn up to steal from? I see you hugging, embracing with open arms. I never hit you just a person like that. I return a random shoulder and a laugh in your back. The streets aren't paved with gold. It's only who's gone that you're gay. So strong that you can't fight temptation. The easy way out is your only solution. The streets aren't paved with gold. It's only who's gone that you're gay. By temptation, an easy way out into what is a rush. You'll never know what is that to us. That's a surprise. If you'll never know what is that to us. A piece of love, but no, don't you want? Every time I look into your eyes, I'm saying it won't be long. Till I walk into your line, I'm gonna say I'm so strong. Not afraid to let your secret out. When people talk and shout out, oh, how you won't believe it when you're bridging the burden. It's just the way out. You'll feel a glow at every word I say. But street time, baby. The easy way out into what is a solution. The streets are paved with gold. It's only to stop that junkie. So strong that you can't fight temptation. The easy way out into what is a solution.
reason when you're drinking. Thinking all you can, you never achieve me. What you give me, you'll never know. What it's like to waste on seats and buy stuff, you'll never know. What it's like to waste on peace of mind and know that don't you wrong. Every time I look into your eyes, I say it won't be long. Till I walk into your line of fire, say I'm so strong. Not afraid to let your secret out. Let people talk and chat out. Oh, ha, you won't believe it when your bridges are burned and the ashes away. You feel a blow at every word I say.
So most of these songs are songs that I've been listening to for many a year, but these next couple are recent ones for me. I downloaded Tim Armstrong's movie, Give Him the Boot, that's just about bands from his Hellcat label, basically just playing some backstage type shit between 2000 or 2004. And it wasn't fantastic. I mean, I wouldn't watch it more than once, but it was, well, maybe I would have hadn't already deleted it. I didn't buy it, Tim, sorry, I just downloaded it. But there's this one band, the Slackers, who I heard somewhere before, you know, one of the compilations, I think. They did this song, And I Wonder, and I like it. It's a good song, so I'm going to play that one. And it's not like I'm some fucking documentary master, right? I only did the one, the Crash in New York documentary for Keith and the Girl. But I think the key to making a documentary is to try to fudge the editing enough so that it has like a storyline to it. Just give him the boot, certainly did not. It's just sort of random shit. I think I got away with a lot in that crash doc because clearly it's for Keith and the Girl fans. First off, if you show it to an outsider, there's a lot of weird shit that doesn't necessarily make sense. Or not doesn't make sense, but just doesn't seem important. It was cool because, especially with like the fan interviews, I mean, let's be honest, most people didn't have a whole fucking lot to say. They were the MVPs, but it was just interesting to get a face to these names that people know, you know, and see what people look like, see what they sound like. I don't think I'd get away with that a second time. But basically, I didn't set out to do this, but as I started editing it together, this became clear that I could do this, was set it up with like the basic three-act structure, which fancy pants, writer, faggots, fucking shit all over. But if it works, it fucking works. See, like that thing started with just the slow intro. Well, it's a nice little quick party intro, but, you know, introducing people, yada yada, just leading us in, act one. And then act two, that's where everything goes wrong. You know, that's the Empire Strikes Back part of the fucking trek. That's where I fucking crashed and burned in Jersey so bad, just died, and Spooky lost his knife. So between the two things, it's like a downbeat. It's like, ah, man, fuck, shit, things are getting fucked up. Then the third act is the Sunday night show at Crash Mansion. Everybody did fucking great. Everybody had a good time. Everything fucking ruled. Everyone's just happy and just excellent. And then at the very, very end, the little denouement, the Monday, the next day. So you got the setup, the knockdown, the build back up, the send off. And I think that's part of what makes that, you know, why people liked it, why they watch it more than once. You know, it's just a cool thing to go on that little 40-minute ride because it follows that course that storytelling has been following for fucking ever because it works. It's satisfying, you know. I don't think it's at all a bad thing to fudge your footage a little to get that feeling. So what am I talking? Clearly, I am a documentary master. What was I saying? One in the fucking pocket. I'm the best. What can I tell you? No, but next time, next documentary I make, I was lucky that one turned out so well because I didn't have a lot of footage. Even, I don't know, I was just lucky things pieced together so well, especially stuff like Brolo performing on Sunday night. I had to swipe the video that a guy put on YouTube for a big part of that, but I was just lucky that I had these little bits and pieces all throughout that thing, these little bits and pieces that really fit together well. It's just fucking lucky. All right, so this is The Slackers with And I Wonder. Nice little tune. Dead, but not in heaven. There's another song, ain't a new song by any stretch, new to me though. I went to Mini Nova, that BitTorrent site, and just went to check on what they have for a musical performance, you know? Video of music shit, concerts and band DVDs and stuff. That's where I got given the boot. I just went down the list and fucking saved every torrent that looked interesting, and I've just been downloading them two at a time, because it's the kind of thing you can just put it, you know, in the corner, always on top type of shit, and just let it play, not necessarily pay all that much attention, work on other stuff, and watch the little musical video thing. So one of them was a Rancid acoustic show that I think is just a fan recording. It's very good quality, though. And Rancid played this song by Social Distortion called Story of My Life. And Social Distortion, man, they are one famous-ass fucking band. Like, they're one of these bands that never hit, like, mainstream big, but in the semi-underground, you know, the undercurrent of, like, punk fandom, people love this band, like, love them. When they played Vancouver last year, I guess it was like the second coming of fucking Jesus Christ. People were so excited. But I really don't know this band. Very unfamiliar with their shit. I heard the main guy, though, Mike Ness, just a cool name, he went and did, like, some country albums, too, and I'm kind of curious about that, because this song does remind me of a country song. It's just got that vibe to it. And so after I heard Rancid do it, I went and tracked down. This is a live version of Social Distortion themselves doing it. And this is a good song. You know, after you listen to it once or twice and it gets in your head a little bit, it's just fun to sing along to. It's like the only words I got down are the chorus, obviously. The rest, but it's like you remember the bullet points of what's going to happen next. And you can just kind of sing along and make up your own words and change things a little. And it just fits. I don't know. It's like a very simple 1-2 country beat type thing, but this is a really good song. This is Story of My Life by Social Distortion.
what you're doing now and when you're coming back. Think it's right. Close your eyes, then it's past. Story of my life. Story of my life. Story of my life. Life. Story of my life.
Now, this is definitely proof that I do not have my finger on the pulse of pop music. I thought this song was going to be really big. This is this chick named Boomcat. I think her real name is Tara Manning. And she showed up in movies for a while. She was in Britney Spears' movie, I think, and Eminem's. I don't know. She's this really skinny, trailer trash-looking white chick. But she had this little band with her brother. I think her brother did, like, the music, and she's the singer. And I don't know, I totally dug this song. It's like, yeah, man, this is like, if you gotta listen to pop music shit, this is great. But I forgot that pop music fans, particularly girls, don't particularly like a hard edge to their songs, you know? I mean, it's not like this is fucking death metal super hard, but it's got that edge to it, you know? Like, fucking, you know, at least the chick's kind of pissed about something. She's not just pliant. But no, this song went nowhere, and that was that. This is, I don't know, pop music goodness that should have been bigger and cooler than it is. Boomcat with The Reckoning.
I came, I saw, I kicked some ass. The pain I cause, it makes me laugh, cause the way I do my thing is strange. I just inject myself into your veins, yeah. Get run, get high, there's no way out. The sun will rise and it's about time for the reckoning. For this girl to sing. Damn if I thought that you would change in my life, would stay the same. Oh, when you don't even care about me enough, you don't give a damn. But things will come and things will go, and one thing I know for sure is that you don't give a shit about me. And so I'm walking out the door. Oh yeah. Can't move, can't breathe, it's getting dark. Still your heart, so you better practice your scream. Well, you may not live your dream. Things will come and things will go, and one thing I know for sure is that you don't give a shit about me. And so I'm walking out the door. The reckoning, the reckoning, the reckoning. Oh, it's time. The reckoning, the reckoning, the reckoning. What you said to me, and then I'll think of what you did to me. I'll think of you and probably laugh, and then I'll think of you and probably laugh.
The reckoning, the reckoning, the reckoning. Now it's time.
up to track 163, getting near the end here. This is a band called Janice Stark that, when the Prodigy was big in the late 90s, 97, 6, whenever that fucking was, I loved them. I was totally into that shit. And they had a touring guitarist named Giz Butt, and he had his own band. He had some other bands before, I guess, but then after he formed this band, and I think they only did the one CD, Janice Stark, Great Adventure Cigar. And it's fucking awesome. It is awesome. It's like, that's why I don't understand pop punk bands, like the really fucking gay, shitty ones, you know, like fucking Good Charlotte and Simple Plan and fucking shit like that. It's because if you want catchy punk, there's plenty out there that's not just embarrassingly shit, you know, like fucking NOFX. That band is catchy as fucking piss. They're pop punk through and through, but they're great, especially the, like, at War on Errorism, they kind of lost me. And Wolf and Wolf Clothing, I didn't really listen to that much. But before that, man, Pump Out the Volume and back, all the way back to, like, you can go back pretty fucking far to, like, Ribbed anyway. That's all solid, man. Just good shit. And I always liked this band a lot, too. And I don't know, I guess they did a little better in Europe. I don't think they hit here at all. They had a song called Every Little Thing Counts that was on some soundtrack. What was that fucking, that football movie? It actually wasn't that bad. I don't know, some American football movie. Teen romp thingy. Blue something? What the fuck was that called? Something Blues? Anyway, it doesn't fucking matter. And they had this song called Floyd, What Do You Want? Fucking awesome. Like, there's like 10 songs on this album. And there's like two of them that I don't like as much. And the other eight are all just gold. They're fucking excellent. It's such a cool album. Very lost in the flow. But, I mean, it's like poppy punk. It's a little tougher. Anyway, it's not hardcore, as I'm saying. I'm fucking rambling here. I'm just going to play this fucking song. This is track 5. It's called Dynamo. What the fuck was that stupid fucking movie called? Ah, god damn it. It had that Dawson's Creek guy in it. And Amy Smart, who wasn't a slut. And then in the very next movie she was in, she was the slut. It was a switcheroo. I'll think of it anyway. This is Dynamo by Janice Stark. It's a cool fucking song.
Watch the voltage meter firing up into six figures. Dynamo. Looking for reaction, staring out in all directions. Dynamo. I hear your voice, it brings me back, reminding me of what you lack. The quality of life is cast, so I ain't growing. Yeah.
It was called Varsity Blues. And that was starting to bug me. I was going to go down to the office and ask everybody if like they could fucking think of what the James Vanderbeek football movie was called. Although it probably would have been a losing endeavor, because for a bunch of people that work in a movie theater, they're not very good movie nerds. And I was just thinking, it's kind of weird to introduce that Janis Stark song as a pop punk song and then play like such a kind of metal influenced song. That's why it's just weird to try to categorize music sometimes. It's a pain in the ass. That's one reason why I think fucking Mr. Bungle's Disco Volante is one of the best albums ever. It's like, here's some music. Here it is. Just bam. Here's music. Absorb it. Not trying too hard to fucking fit into any one genre. But on the other hand, not like deliberately hitting, like, here, let's, it's like what Ween does sometimes, where they just are like deliberately going for a style. You know, like you'll hear a catchy song and you're like, wow, that song's catchy, Gabriel or whatever, but like, you know, obviously, I don't know, the Kinks or whoever fucking did that already. But yeah, I don't know, Disco Volante, that's a good album. I'd play something from it, but I don't think I got any on here. Although maybe I do. Who knows? That's the point. This is the random crapshoot, right? Anyway, here's a song I was going to play in my little Smashing Pumpkins fucking retrospective. But I'll play it right now instead. This is from Machina, the 2000 album they put out before the breakup. And I remember I only saw this video like twice. This is the first single, The Everlasting Gaze. And it didn't really sink in at all. I think everybody was just kind of sick of the Pumpkins at that point. Everybody, this album didn't sell for shit. Everyone has just kind of had enough. But I tried a lot of times to listen to Adore, but I can't get into it. But the next one, Machina, I kind of am liking better. But mostly it's just been the singles and a few other little songs. But I like all three of the singles. And this song, I remember me and Matt saw it. The first time we saw it, we were like, you know, it's okay, but what's with that breakdown part where it's just like a cappella of him singing in his most grating, annoying voice? It really was jarring and strange and not cool. But now when I listen back, I don't mind as much. And what I really like about this song is it's got like the first verse, and then it's not the chorus exactly. It's not even really a chorus to this song, but the second like verse type of thing. I don't know. I don't know where it fits in the song structure, but it's just like this wash of sound that just kind of floods in over the song, and it just sounds so cool. So, yeah, years later, here we go. We're going to give The Everlasting Gaze a new lease on life through my fantastically popular podcast. And the new album, I don't know, it's not bad. It's better than Zwan was, and I downloaded Billy Corgan's solo album, The Future Embrace, and I only listened to it a little bit, but man, it fucking sucks. I don't know, maybe if I let it sink in a little more, but ouch. So at least he's going back to the pseudo-Pumpkin style. But it's weird, because he's like saying with his new album that it's called Zeitgeist, the spirit of the times, what that means. So that's kind of like the explanation he can use to, like, it's kind of a narrow album. You know, he's saying he's going back to the Gish melancholy, not melancholy, Siamese Dream Gish type days, sort of. Shut up, fucking radio, Christ. Leave me alone, responsibilities of my job, I'm trying to do a podcast. So, but it's a very straightforward, kind of straightforward rocky album, way more straightforward than any of the other ones, but that name kind of buys him a way out, you know? He can say, it's Zeitgeist, bitch. It's the spirit of the times. This is what people want, you know? I don't want to fucking confuse anybody. Just got to get in there with the straight dope and fucking fight my way back onto the charts type of shit. Anyway, it's not bad, but I couldn't see ever really loving it. If it wasn't for the past endeavors of the Smashing Pumpkins, I certainly wouldn't give any shits at all. But, so we're going to go back to Machina. Apparently this was supposed to be a double album, but the record company was like, Billy Corgan, you're fucking crazy. We're not putting out no double album. So they released the second half just online, just for free. Like, here you go, have this. All right, enough rambling. Here's The Everlasting Gaze by the Smashing Pumpkins. We'll be right back.
enchanted in the rapture of his sentimental sway. But underneath the wheels lie the skulls of every cog, the fickle fascination of an everlasting god. You know I'm not dead.
You know, I actually only know how to say the names of those Smashing Pumpkins albums because I've heard Billy Corgan say them. I would have called them Adore and Machina, but apparently it's Adore and Machina, so now you know. Let me tell you about something weird that I've only ever experienced here. When I'm breaking out a movie, there's one table. It's like a big metal round table that spins real fast with the movie on it. Then to break down the movie from its big, giant circle of a movie into littler circles that we put in cans and send away, I gotta have another littler table with a motor in it that pulls and it goes through a bunch of little fucking rollers and stuff. So I got one hand on the big table to, like, you know, slow it down if I need to, kind of guide the speed a little. My other hand is over on this other table on a dial where I can control how fast that the second table is pulling. So that's all spinning along, zip, 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 and then if my headphones, which I'm always wearing, if the cord from them droops down and starts rubbing against the reel, the movie reel that's, you know, being filled up with a movie, I get this static shock that goes straight through these things right into my ears, like straight in my ear. It's very weird and not cool feeling. It's just like a static shock right inside your ear. Probably not good for you either. And I keep forgetting about it, and it keeps happening over and over again. So this next song, this is by a Canadian guy named Spooky Rubin. I think I mentioned him before. He is awesome. He kind of became most famous for this, his first single? Maybe. Yeah, I think it was. It was like almost like a film school project where he made this video himself. It's called These Days Are Old, but I'm not playing that song. But that was, like, it's a hilarious, awesome video. It's, like, shit, like, him getting pushed over constantly. Like, he's riding in a bike, and someone pushes him and face first into a puddle. And the one part I always remembered, like, because after this song stopped getting played on TV, and the internet hadn't risen yet, there's no way I could see it in the interim. But I always remembered this, he was in the bathtub with this pane of glass over top of the bath, and then he, like, sat up really fast and busted his head through it for no apparent reason while he was singing. Like, I remember years later talking to my friend Matt about it, like, you remember that guy? And it's like, oh yeah, the getting pushed down guy with the pane of glass in the fucking bathroom. What a weirdo. But he's an awesome weirdo. And this is a song called Dizzy Playground by Spooky Rubin that's super cool.
Find the king of plastic stars. rocks the jukebox. Pops golden hits coming down from the rooftops. Pamphlet boys on world crusade. The magician wins the people's trust. We'll see what it's worth in a day.
It's impossible.
If you swallow it whole.
It's impossible.
If you do what I say.
It's impossible.
If you swallow it whole. The one thing.
Alright, I think that fucking does it. Work day is winding down. All the movies are playing for the day. Just gotta wait for them to end and close down the projectors. Do a little basic maintenance. Get my fucking ass out of here. Didn't quite break down both those movies. I got one of them. I might get the other one. But it turns out Heidi's in on Sunday morning, so she can do it then. Worst comes to worst. So, alright, there is, however, 200-some songs, my favorite, I don't know, 20, 30? How many songs did I play? Quite a fucking few. This is going to be a long-ass podcast. Anybody who is listening to this right now, congratulations. Give yourself a fucking golden star or something. You're one of the elite, one of the few. Alright, so to finish things off, I'm going to play a Rancid song called Spirit of 87. That same punk book where I was saying that that song 316 by Mouthwash is like one of the themes of it. Basically, in my little theoretical soundtrack, track two is that song, the Mouthwash song for the two main guys. But track one, to kick everything off, is this one, Spirit of 87. This is just fucking cool. Like, I didn't have a lot of time spent in the kind of punk community, but enough. Enough to learn that punks are nicer than nerds, because I worked at a comic store, and man, you know, those people, they can be such dicks, man. Punks tend to be nice. I feel like I talked about this before, but, you know, they're not so repressed and, like, stuck in this horrible shit life they don't like. They went out and chose something that they enjoy, you know? They made that step outside of society. Maybe punk doesn't mean what it used to, but it still means something. I mean, you're covered in tattoos, you still can't get a lot of jobs, there's still a lot of doors closed, you know? It's not like it was, maybe, but it's still something. It's still a step in an assertive direction. And I love this song, just fucking Saturday, where else are we gonna go? We're gonna go to the fucking show, man, because this is fucking the exciting part of life, you know? Just sometimes, even just when I smell that smell of just people that have been drinking, that beer smell, this is what it reminds me of, is punk shows. And especially, it doesn't seem like it would be something good, but just being in a pit and sweaty people all over the place, it smells good. I don't know how to explain it. That kind of sweat, it's like, it's different. It's fucking, and it's like how your smell sense, you can, you know, brings back these strong memories, because it's so cut off from your other senses, you know, in a way. It's like, it's a rare thing to smell a really unique smell that you haven't smelled in a long time. And that kind of, that smell of beer fucking coming out of people's pores, you know, and just the sweat of a pit and the stale beer on the floor shit. You put that all together and it's just like this unique fucking it just brings back some fine fucking memories, man. I totally would love to, when I get older and have some more money, set up some kind of like rec center or something, some place for kids to have shows, because it's fucking it's just a good time. It's weird. It's like my two formative influences were punk shows and Ayn Rand books. Not really, you know, things that fit together. But, at least on the surface. But, they do. Trust me. It all makes sense in my head. This is Spirit of 87 by Rancid. Good night.
Saturday, I saw your chemical.
There's no way.
I'm gonna end up at the disco.
Make my way.
With the spice and stilettos. To rock and roll.
Turns the back on this song.